Okay, today's daf is Chagiga daf Yud Aleph. Today we will let Ezra Hashem be finishing the first paragraph of Maseches Chagiga. Today's daf is sponsored anonymously.
In honor of the new
Chernobyl Arenical.
Born to Shoshana and Aaron Tversky
this week. The Tversky should have much nachas from their new daughter, and we thank the anonymous sponsor very, very much. So we're going to, Be'ezras Hashem, finish the first parak of Maseches Chagiga and begin the second parak of Maseches Chagiga today. Yesterday we had a mishnah that discussed three types of halachos. We had Heter Nedarim, that was Pareach Ba'avir, that's floating, doesn't have any psukim to really ground it. And then we have a whole series of halachos, Shabbos, Chagigos, Mi'ilos, that are Hararim Atzluin B'Sa'ara, and then a series of halachos that the mishnah defined as Gufei Torah, that Yesh Lamal Mashi Yismochu, that are very much based in Torah Shebichsav. So the rest of this parak, Amud Aleph, is going to go through the second and third categories of things. We already started to go through the second category of what makes the items on the second list Tzluyin B'Seyar, and what makes the items on the third list Gufei Torah. And then on Amud Beis, we're going to begin the second parak. Second parak begins with the Mishnah that tells us the types of limud that we have to be somewhat limited in. People cannot just Darshan Ba'arayos in certain numbers, or B'maisa Bereshis, or B'merkava, and the Gemara is going to describe where we know these things from, and we'll talk a little bit about what those items are of Arayos and B'maisa Merkava and B'maisa Bereshis that one is not supposed to speak about. So let us begin again. We went through, we were in the middle of Mi'ilos, where Mi'ilos was something that we said was Tzluyin B'Seir, so we're trying to figure out what makes it Tzluyin B'Seir, what makes it something that's only that's hanging by a thread. So the Gemara is going to have four different suggestions, and then after we reject all four suggestions, it's going to go back to suggestion number two to say that must be what it is, that must be what makes it Tzluyin B'Seir. So we did yesterday the first two suggestions, and it's kedai to just go over what it said, because again we're going to be coming back to the second one, and also there's what to talk about. So the first suggestion was Rami Bar Chama, where he said the Tzluyin B'Seir element of it is that, generally speaking, if a person doesn't realize that he has money of Hegdish, and he goes and he tells somebody to go use this money of Hegdish to buy something, to be Motziyat L'chul, and he sends a Shliach to do it, the Balabayis is the one that violates Mi'ilah, if the Shliach listens to exactly what the Balabayis said. But if the Shliach doesn't listen to what the Balabayis said, he goes and he spends it in some other way, then it's the Shliach's Mi'ilah. But why is it in that first case that if he listens, that the Shliach does not violate Mi'ilah, the Balabayis violates Mi'ilah, if after all the Shliach is the one doing the Avera? Generally speaking, well, we have a concept, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. Now, it's important to note, the Gemara does not use that terminology of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. The Gemara uses the terminology, V'chizeh Chotei V'zeh Mischayev. The Shliach is going to do an Avera, and the Balabayis is going to be the one that's going to be punished for the Shliach's Avera. How could that be? How could, just because he sent him to do it, that the Balabayis is going to be punished? So he said, that's what makes it unusual, and that's what makes it Tluyin Basara. The Gemara says, nah, that's not what makes it so unusual, because that we have a basis for that. The concept of Mi'ilah is very closely linked with Truma. By Truma, Shlichus plays a major role, so obviously Shlichus is going to be a little more intense when it comes to Mi'ilah than it would normally be. So even though normally in Shliach L'Dvar Avera, it shouldn't be that surprising that Shlichus even works for Dvar Avera when it comes to Mi'ilah. Now why is it that in Shliach L'Dvar Avera? The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Mem Beis tells us, based on a Svara, Divrei Rav and Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishamin. The Shliach is asked to do an Avera by his friend, and he's asked by the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's commanded by the Ribbono Shel Olam not to do an Avera. So who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to your friend who tells you to do the Avera? Are you going to listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam who tells you not to do the Avera? Divrei Rav and Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishamin. He should have listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not to the Mishaleach, not to the person who sent him. Now the Svara of Divrei Rav Divrei Talmud Divrei Mishamin could be explained in two ways. The Sma in Chosh Mishpat and Simkuf Pei Beis explains that the Mishaleach could say, I've never thought in a million years that he was going to listen to me. I mean, the reason this Avera shouldn't be Mitzarev back to me is because I told him to do an Avera, but who in their right mind would listen to me? He has the Ribbono Shel Olam whispering in his other ear not to do the Avera. So I never thought he would listen to me. I was just joking. I didn't think that anything was going to happen from that. That's how the Sma explains. Rabbi Kiveger and the Pnei Yeshua explain that Divrei Rav is not a svara in the Das HaMishaleach or the Shliach. It's just that the Torah doesn't give the koach of minoy shlichus b'makom that you're violating an iser. That shlichus itself is a chiddush. What do you mean? You're going to do something and it's going to count for me? Why should that be? But there's a chiddush in the Torah called shlichus. But the Torah only grants that koach hashlichus when you're doing something that's a dvar mitzvah or a dvar shus. But to do on a dvar avera, why would the Torah give such a koach? Rabbi Kiveger points out there's a big nafkamina between these two explanations of ein shliach, of what dvar av, dvar talmud, dvar mishomin means. What if the person that you're sending to do the avera is someone who's not observant at all? He doesn't keep mitzvahs at all. So you're really going to be able to taina, I never thought he would listen to me, as he's eating his ham sandwich and he's doing all the averas in the world. You really didn't think he was going to listen to you to do the avera? Of course you thought he was going to listen to you. So if the svara dever av dever talmud is I didn't think he was going to listen to me, so then there would be yeshliach ledvar avera in a case where he's generally not observant of Torah law. But if it's just that the Torah doesn't grant the koach hashlichus in the case of avera, well, that would apply regardless of what kind of person you're sending to do your shlichus. But anyway, that's the svara the Gemara gives. So Tosus Maseches Kiddushin says, how does that apply over here? Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim. The Gemara raises the issue of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. What's the Havamina to raise the issue of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera? The whole case of Me'ila is B'Shogeg. So how can you say Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim? The guy didn't know. It was a Shogeg. The whole Svara doesn't make sense when you're dealing with Shogeg. There is no Me'ila if it's B'Mezin. Me'ila is by definition B'Shogeg. So Tosus suggests, yeah, who's Shogeg? The Mishaleach is Shogeg. But the Shliach, the guy who's actually doing the Shlichus, we're talking about where he's b'mezid. And over there we would say Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, that because the Shliach himself is realizes that he's doing an Avera, and we could still apply Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomin. The Ritva suggests differently. The Ritva says, no, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera is even if the Shliach is Shogeg. And the Makar of the Din of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera is not this Svara of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomin. It's a Gzeres HaKosov. And if you look in the Gemara, in Kiddushin there, it sounds that way, that Shlichus Yad and Me'ila are Shnei Ksuvin Abam Ke'echad, and Ein Melamdin that the Yeh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, because there's Shnei Ksuvin Abam Ke'echad where there is Shliach L'Dvar Avera. So we see from there that generally speaking, it's Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera B'Kol HaTorah Kula. That's the way things work in general with Drashos Chazal. That if you have one pasuk that says something, so we make a binyan av, and we say, that idea works for Kol HaTorah Kula. But when you have two psukim that say a chiddush, we assume that those are the exceptions to the rule. They are not the basis and the foundation of the rule. And therefore, if you have shnei ksuvim abam kechad, where there's yesh shliach l'dvar avera, it's megala that in kol ha'torah kula, it's ein shliach l'dvar avera. So then the Gemara suggested a second possibility. What does it mean, mi'ilos ha'tluim b'sa'ara, that it's hanging by a thread? So he said, maybe it's, Rava suggests, maybe it's like the Braisa tells us, that if the balabais realizes before the shliach violates the mi'ila, then, and the shliach doesn't realize, then it's the shliach's mi'ila. The shliach is the one who violates mi'ila. So the Gemara said, but why does that make sense? Shliach Anya, my Ka'avid, what did the poor Shliach do? He had no idea he was doing anything wrong. Now it's his Me'ilah all of a sudden. Yeah, that's Harara Natalin Basara. That's what we mean when we say it's hanging by a thread. Now Rashi explains that the reason the Balabais is Pater when he realizes is because Anan Sahadi, that he doesn't want the Shlichus anymore. So it's as if he's severing the Shlichus and therefore he's going to be Pater. The Ktsos, however, points out that Rashi elsewhere writes that the reason is because once the Balabais realizes what the Shliach is doing, he realizes what he had given the Shliach, that he had given the Shliach Hegdish money to go and spend, the Balabais is no longer Shogeg. The Shliach is Chayiv because the Balabais is Pater, so the Isser Mila has to go on someone, so then goes on to the Shliach. But the reason the Balabais is Pater is because, like we said, Mi'ila is only when you do something B'Shogeg, and he's no longer a Shogeg if he knows what's going on over here. That's the Stira. The Ketzos points out in Rashi, Avni Nezer deals with it, it's a discussion amongst the Achronim. The Gemara then points out, but wait a second, is that really why it's Harar Atlim B'Sa'ara? No, maybe, the fact that you're going to say, Shliach Anya, Mike Ovid, what did he do wrong? That's the whole thing of Mi'ila. Mi'ila is always b'shogeg. What did the guy ever do wrong by Mi'ila? It's always a situation of shogeg. So why should it be so surprising to us that the shliach is going to violate Mi'ila when he's totally innocent, he didn't realize he was doing anything wrong? Anyone who violates Mi'ila is totally innocent, doesn't realize they're doing anything wrong. Ella Amar Rav Ashi, so now the Gemara says a third possibility, about 6 lines from the bottom of the page. We'll get to today's daf eventually. Ella Amar Rav Ashi, lo nitzrucha ella l'chaditznan, we only need for the following. The idea of Mi'ila being harana tlim b'sara is based on the following Mishnah. Nata levin okara shal hegdish, areza lo ma'al. If a person takes a stone or a beam that belongs to hegdish, he has not yet violated Mi'ila. Nasan l'chavero, if he then gives that stone or beam to somebody else, then the person who originally took it is then in violation of Mi'ila when he transfers Rishos, when he transfers that beam to somebody else. The person who takes it from him is not in violation of Mi'ila. Umichti, Mishkal Shakla, Malihu, Mali Chavero. He took it. What difference does it make whether he gives it to someone else or he keeps it for himself? Either way, it should be a violation of Mi'ila. Hainu Kararan Atlim Basara. It's that surprising din that's what makes Mi'ila Hararan Atlim Basara. Ask the Gemara, my kushya, Dilma Kiddush Shmuel. Maybe we're assuming like Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, Hacha Begizbar, Hamasurus Lo Abne Binyan Askinan, the Kalecha Demancha Berushusa Dide Mancha. No, maybe the case is like Shmuel's case, where the reason you have to transfer it to somebody else in order to violate Mila is because we're talking about the original guy is the Gizbar. So when he originally takes it into his possession, that's his job. He's not doing anything wrong even. It's supposed to be in his possession. He's the Gizbar, wherever it is, wherever he decides to keep it, is where it's supposed to be. So therefore, the only act of Mi'ila, the first time he did an overt act of Mi'ila, was by transferring it to somebody else. So that makes plenty of sense. That's not Arar Matzulim B'Sa'ara. Ella mi seifa. The Gemara says rather a fourth possibility. Maybe it's from the seifa of that same situation of stealing a beam, where it describes bana b'toch beso. If you take the beam and you build it into your house, hareze lo ma'al ad sheyadu tachtel b'shava pruta. There is no violation of mi'ila until you live under that beam a shava pruta's worth of living. Until a person gets a shava pruta's worth of benefit from that beam being part of his house. Michti, shinu yeshanya, mali dar, mali lodar. But he already changed the beam. He made it part of his home. Why would it make a difference if he lived in it or didn't live in it? Hainu karar natlim basara. That's what makes mi'ila harar natlim basara. The Gemara again rejects this as well, though. Umay kushya, why is that so difficult to understand? Why is that something that makes it so difficult that it's harar natlim basara? Dilma lichadarav, damarav kagon shinich al piaruba. Maybe we're talking about where he put the beam in an open area in a skylight where it's easily removed. So he didn't really change it. He didn't trim it down. He didn't cut it. Didn't do anything to it. He darbe in lo darbe lo. So only if he actually lives under it and only actually uses it, only then is he in violation of Mi'ila. Otherwise, he will not be in violation of Mi'ila. So that's not surprising either. So what is the case of Mi'ila that the Mishnah said that Mi'ila is like halachas that are harar matzlim b'sara? When all four answers failed, we have to go back and reanalyze. Maybe one of those answers shouldn't have failed. Go back to answer number two, to what Rava had suggested. What did Rava say? He's the one that said that if the Balabayas remembers, the Shliach, the Balabayas realizes and he remembers while the Shliach is on his mission that the items he gave him were Hegdish, the Shliach is the one who violates Mi'ila, and Udukakashalach, Mida Dahava Amotzi Mos Hegdish Lechulin, and that which we said, why is that so surprising? Just because the Shliach is Shogeg, that he should be in violation of Mi'ila. That's not surprising. That's how Mi'ila always works, where the person who's doing it doesn't realize that he's doing it. It's always a shogeg. No, there's a big difference. Typically, by Mi'ila, a person has lots of money around his house. He has some money that's Hegdish, some money that's not Hegdish, and he's supposed to keep track of what's what. He's supposed to keep track of what's Hegdish, what's not Hegdish. B'shogeg, he gets confused, and he uses money that's Hegdish for a chula need. That's Mi'ila in a typical case. The shliach is a little bit of a different case. The shliach is not someone who was supposed to keep track of something and just got confused between monies and monies. No, the shliach was given something with the express understanding that what he was given was not Hegdish, and he had no reason to think it was Hegdish. And he was told, go take this money and spend it and buy chulin items with this money. And he had no idea that it was Hegdish. Hagdish. So there's a big difference between the two cases. Hasa made the Yadadika Zuzi Dagdish. Ibaili Yune. Hacha Miyada. I understand very well that a normal case of Mi'ila, the person deserves to be in violation of Mi'ila because it's a total lack of responsibility. He was supposed to keep track of what's Hagdish, what's not Hagdish. He should have looked more carefully at the how he labeled each envelope of cash, that this is Hagdish, this is not Hagdish. He failed in that regard. And by failing in that regard, he deserves to violate Mila, even though in a chinami, it's a shogeg. But the shaliach, who's just innocently given, he has to think that any time you give him a job to do, that you're giving him something that's Hagdish, that he's going to be in violation of Mi'ila. He didn't fail at all. He did nothing wrong. He was just doing his shlichus. The fact that the shliach could still be in violation of Mi'ila, even though he did absolutely nothing wrong, that's harara natlian basara. This concept is meaning they're both technically labeled shogeg, but one is like a shogeg that's karav la'ones, and one is more a shogeg that's karav l'pshia. When you have a balabais who normally violates Mi'ila, yeah, it's shogeg, but it's a shogeg that's karav l'pshia because he really was somewhat negligent in not keeping track of his money. Whereas the shliach is also shogeg, but it's a shogeg that's karav la'ones, because why should he ever assume that what you're giving him is hegdish and that he's in violation of anything when he's doing this action? Mikra muat v'alachos merubos. So we said, what makes something tluyim b'sa'ara when there are very few psukim about them, but there are lots of halachos about them? That's the definition of hararim atzluyim b'sa'ara. So the Gemara comments, Tana, negayim v'alachos mikra muat v'alachos merubos. You want more examples of things that have very few psukim and a lot of halachos? You look at Maseches Negayim, Maseches Ahalos, the ones that no one ever takes when they're trying to finish Shas for their first Shloshim or something. There's a reason. People don't say it because it's halachos merubos. There are a lot of halachos. It's somewhat scared. People are scared off by it also, a little more esoteric. Negayim mikra muat. Ask the Gemara, wait a second. That shows you don't know Chumash if you think Negayim is a mikra muat. There are plenty of psukim about Negayim. Negayim mikra merubahi. You ever look at Parshas Tazria, Parshas Mitzora, pretty much the entire thing? There's plenty of psukim about Negayim, very detailed psukim about Negayim. How could you say that it's mikra muat? Amrav Papa Hachi Kamar. Nah, this is what we meant to say. Negayim mikra meruba v'alachos muatos. All those mikra muat v'alachos merubos, that they are the reverse of each other. Negayim has a lot of psukim, not so many alachos. Alos has very few psukim and lots of halachos. Umaynaf kamina, why is this important to know? I mean, you learn Torah, you'll figure it out. Why is it important to know that what has more mikra and less and more halachos? So says the Gemara, nafkamina is to give us guidance in learning Torah. Im istafkalach milsa b'negayim, if you're not sure about something in the laws of negayim, ayein b'krayi, the first place you have to look is not a maseches negayim. First place you have to look is in the Chumash. You have to look at Pesukim first. Ivi mistafkalach milsa ba'alos, and if there's something that we're uncertain about when it comes to alos, ayin b'masnisin, then the first place we should look is in Mishnayos. We should open up a Maseches alos. That's going to be where we're going to find whatever we need to about alos. Dinin, then the Mishnah started a list of things that are not arar natlim b'sara, but that are gufei Torah, that are yeshlan al mashi yismuchu, and that list included dinin, avodos, taharos, tameos, and arayos. Those five items. So the Gemara is going to go through one by one. These items that are gufei Torah. Dinin, the Gemara says, michtav ksivan, that dinin are written explicitly. So why is it on the list? And says the Gemara, lo nitzrucha elach derebi, the fact that dinim is on the list is to teach us the halacha that Rebbe said, meaning the idea that dinim omen are not mefurish b'Torah. So we say, what are you talking about? They are mefurish b'Torah. Why does Mishnah say that they're not mamish mefurish b'Torah? And it's just yeshlem al mashi yismochu. Yeshlem al mashi yismochu doesn't mean that it's that the psukim talk explicitly about it. Yeshlem al mashi yismochu means that there's what to connect it to in Chumash, but not that it's actually explicit in Chumash. Says the Gemara, but dinim are explicit in Chumash. How can you say that it's only yeshlem al mashi yismochu, that there's what to make an asmachta, what to connect it to. And so the Gemara Lenitzchal Chedrabi, you know, it's for Rebbe's din that's not explicit. Titania Rebbe Omer Nefesh Tachas Nefesh Mamon. When the Torah uses the phrase Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, it's actually referring to money. It's not referring to life. Atomer Mamon Oinu El Nefesh Mamish. Do you, does it mean Mamon or does it mean Mamish and Nefesh? So Nemar Nesina Lamata V'Nemar Nesina Lamala. It says V'Nasata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. So Lashem Nesina. But by Dmei Vlados, it also says V'Nasan Beflilim. When a person causes a woman to miscarry, he's got to pay the Dmei Vlados. Also use Lashem Nesina. Mala Halan Mamon Afkan Mamon. So just like Dmei Vlados is clearly money, over here also when we say Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, even though use the word Nefesh, but use the word V'Nasata. So V'Nasata teaches us that it's money. The Mishnah Maseches Makos says that the Tzedukim assumed, as one would expect, that Nefesh Tachas Nefesh means a life mamish, and they use that by Eidim Zomim. That's why, even though the halacha is, in order to make someone an Eid Zomim, you have to catch the Eidim Zomim in a very small window of time. You have to catch them after the Gemar Din against the person that they testified about, but before we actually did anything about the Gemar Din, before we actually killed the person. But Hargu? If they already killed the person that they testified against, then the Edom Zomim don't get killed. It's one of the great chiddush of Edom Zomim, that if they were actually effective and they actually carried out this terrible crime of having an innocent person punished, then they don't become Edom Zomim. So the Mishnah says, and it's important to highlight this because the Tzedukim said just the opposite. The Tzedukim said, only if you already killed them are they Ne'eragin. Nefesh tachas nefesh. That was their pasuk, that it's a life for a life. So only if they cost someone else a life, only then is their life going to be taken from them. But we say, no, nefesh tachas nefesh doesn't mean that. Nefesh tachas nefesh means mamon. Avodos, then we mentioned avodos. The avodos Beis HaMikdash is also something that's yesh lamal mashi yismochu. So again, the Gemara asks, michtav k'tivan, what do you mean, yesh lamal mashi yismochu? This is explicit. Avodos are explicit in the Chumash. Lo nitzucha ella holochas hadam. There are dalet avodos of a korban. There's the shechita, the kabbalah, the halacha, and the zrika. You have to shech the animal, you have to catch the blood in a kli, you have to bring that blood to the mizbeach, and then you zorik the blood on the mizbeach. Halachas hadam is not explicit in the Chumash. The rest of them are. Titania, the Bryce says v'yikrivu, the pasuk says v'yikrivu zu kabbalas hadam. That's a reference to kabbalas hadam. But still, va'afka rachmana b'lashon halacha. But v'yikrivu means you're bringing it closer, and which sounds like a lashon of halacha. Dichsiv v'yikriv ha'kohen es hakol v'yikter ha'mizbecha. That the kohen brings everything close and burns it on the mizbeach. V'amamar zu halachas evarim lakevesh. That's a reference in that pasuk where it talks about that v'ikra v'akoyin esakol v'ikter mizbecha. That's bringing the limbs to the kevesh, to the ramp of the mizbech. So we're also the krivu of the dam is also a lashon of halacha. Makes it sound like we're bringing it to the mizbech. L'meimra da halacha lo tafka miklal kabbalah. That halacha is part of the avoda as well. That halacha is an avoda just like kabbalah is an avoda. That's where we see that halacha is in chumash, but it doesn't. It's not explicit in Chumash. It's just the fact that you use the term v'ikrivu, which v'ikrivu normally means you're bringing something toward the mizbeach. That's how we know halachas hadam to the mizbeach. Every day we're talking about bringing the limbs of the Karban Tamid. That was something they would do every single day. They had raffles of the Kohanim would decide who brings which limbs that were divided amongst the different Kohanim. First they would bring it to the ramp, and then later on they would go and bring it from the ramp all the way up to the top of the mizbeach to burn it on the top of the mizbeach. So halachas navoda. Like any other. But is it really like any other? There's one fundamental difference between halacha and the other avodos. Let's say a person shechts something right next to the mizbeach, mamish right next to the mizbeach, where it's not going to take any walking. So then halacha is a non-issue. He doesn't have to, does he have to walk around in circles so that he could be doing a halacha? Or he's right there, so what does he need to do a halacha? So Rashi points out, v'yafagav shi avoda shef shol levatla. This is an avoda that you could be mevatel. Shim rotza shochit b'tzalem mizbeach v'zorek and even though you can shecht right next to the mizbech and just be zorik and you won't have to do halacha, yeah, but if you were not mevatel it, then it's considered an avoda. What does it mean it's an avoda? It means that if a kohen has a machshava of chutz lizman while he's doing halacha, yeah, that will make the karban pigel. Pigel is something that happens when you have a machshava of eating a chutz lizman while doing an avoda. So if you have that machshava while doing halacha, that would make it pigel. And you also need a kohen to do it. That's another indication that it's an avoda. And because it's an avoda, the kohen has to be wearing big day kahuna. And a kohen is an onen, can't do it. And if he's sitting down, he can't do it. And if he's an arel, he can't do it. So it's an avoda in every which way, other than the fact that you don't really have to do it. Meaning you can avoid it by just shachting the animal right next to the mizbeach. Taharos also, we said, is something that it's yesh l'mamashi yismachu. Again, the Gemara asks, Michtav k'siva, and there's plenty of taharos in Chumash. Lo nitzcha el shir mikvah delo k'siva. No, but it never says in Chumash how big a mikvah has to be, how much water a mikvah must hold. The Tanya v'rachatz b'mayim, or the v'rachatz b'sar b'mayim, b'mei mikvah. We darshan that means mei mikvah. Es kol b'saro, mayim shekol gufo ol behen. Es kol b'saro teaches us that it has to be the amount of water that a person's entire body can fit into. V'kamahein, how much water is that? Amma al amma berom shalosh amos. If he dips in a box that's one amma by one amma with a height of three amos, and you fill that box with water, that is what a person can be tovelin. V'shiru chacham me mikvah arba'im sa'ah. The chacham figured out that's 40 sa'ah. That amma by amma berom shalosh amos is 40 sa'ah. Tosfos over here points out that the height of a person is three amos. That's true. We assume that throughout Shas, but whenever we say that, it means below rosha. It means without his head. It means shoulder height is three amos. When we say a mikveh needs to be three amos, it's because when he gets into the mikveh, he could dip his head down a little bit and he'll fit his head into the mikveh. Tosfos says the reason that it's enough to have three amos, another reason why it's enough, even if he doesn't dip his head, is water displacement. When he goes into the box, so the water level is going to go up because of the volume of his own body, and therefore even if it's only three amos high of water, the water is only shoulder height when he goes in, or neck high, when he goes into the mikveh, the water of the mikveh will cover his entire body. So Tosfos says that if you say Gufa Shel Adam is only Shalosh Amos with Rosho, if you were to try to say the other way, then how could we possibly say that you could dip in a mikveh it's three Amos Mitzum Tzomos, you'll drown. If it's that can't be, a person's going to end up drowning. If it's so, he says it can't be that the full height of a person is three Amos. The Ramban holds that no, when we say a height of a person is three Amos, it means with his head. You don't have to worry that he's going to drown. He just goes for a second and he jumps right out. I mean, they shouldn't. The person's not going to drown for a second dipping in the mikveh. The Ritva writes that the reason we're not choshes is that he's going to drown is because it doesn't say that the box has to be shaped in that way. It's just that's the volume of how much water it has to. It's not a box, obviously, it's a bar. But the bar doesn't have to be shaped in that way. It's just the volume of the bar. But the bar could be a little shorter and wider. It could be, so there's no concern he's going to drown. We're just talking about a shear of how much the mikveh is. Tosfos raises the issue that how could anyone ever say that the height of a person in total is only three amos? The sugi is at the beginning of Masechet Baba Basra when it talks about hezek re'iyah, how you shouldn't be, you're entitled to protect yourself from your neighbor staring into your yard and looking into your private area. So it says that you have the right to force your neighbor to chip in with you to buy a wall, to build a wall that's four amos high, so he won't be able to see in. But if the person is only three amos tall with his head, so then why do we need a four amos high wall? Well, what would be the point of the four amos high wall? So it says, no, you would still need a four amos high wall, because if your neighbor is really a yenta, and he likes to snoop, so he could be magbia atzmal rashi etzba'osa vachiyatzitz. He can stand on his tippy toes. He can stand on rashi etzba'os in Hebrew is not only fingers, it's toes also. He can stand on rashi etzba'osav and look inside your yard. So you're still going to need a four amos wall to be safe from the person's hezek re'iyah. Now the Turi Evan over here says that since the idea of 40 sa is not magic, it's based on how tall a person is, how big a person is. He says if you have someone who's very big, mem sa is not enough. You need more than mem sa, which is a very great chiddush. Now certainly you need something big enough to hold him. You need enough water in the mikveh to hold him. But to say that the shear is not a shear of mem sa is not the same as saying that you need a bigger mikveh to hold him. What do I mean by that? Once you have mem sa in the mikveh, once you have a mikveh mem sa, you can then add mayim shu'uvin to the mikveh. You can add water that comes through pipes and is drawn with buckets or to the mikveh. It's not going to passel the mikveh. But let's say you have 39 sa, and then you add gimel sa of mayim shu'uvin. That's going to passel the entire mikveh. So what happens if you have a very big person and the mikveh had mem sa'a, and then you added gimel lugin of mayim she'uvin. You added three lug of mayim she'uvin. What Turi Evan's saying is that that person's sheer mikvah isn't mem sa'a, which would mean it would be the equivalent of adding gimel lugin mayim she'uvin for us, for a regular sized person, if it was 39 sa'a, and then you added the gimel lugin, it would pasul as mikvah. That's a startling thing to say. Pashtus is not that way. All the poskim assume not that way. That once you have mem sa'a, you could add the gimel lugin mayim she'uvin, it's not going to pasul the mikvah, no matter how tall the person or how big the person that's being tovel and that mikvah is going to be. His sheer mikvah isn't any different. You just need practically a mikvah that could fit him, enough water that he could fit inside. But the sheer mikvah is still going to be a sheer of memsa. There are a couple of machloks and rishonim over here also. Machloks and rishonim, whether the sheer of arbamsa, one major machloks, whether the sheer of arbamsa is a sheer daraisa or a sheer darabanan. There's a gemara in Nazir that sounds like it's only din darabanan. The gemara in Nazir, the Flamed Ches, says that the revi'ish shel mikvah, you could be matbil like small kalim, like needles and things, with just a revius of water in a mikvah, but the chum were mevatel that, and they required memsa'a. So that makes it sound like it's purely a din drabanan. Other rishonim say no. From our gemara, it sounds like it's din daraisa because we're darshaning a pasuk that it has to fit kol gufo. It has to fit in a person's entire body. When the gemara says that it's only drabanan, that's talking about for a mikvah for kelim, but for a mikvah for a person, the shear of memsa is daraisa. That's machlokes rishonim. Also, machlokes rishonim, if a person is tovel b'mayan, he's not tovel in a mikveh, he's tovel in a mayan, in a spring of water, so you need memsa for springs of water as well. So that's also further machlokes in the rishonim. Okay, further in the Gemara now, tameos. We had mentioned that tameos is also something that yesham al mashi yismachu. Ask the Gemara michtav ksivan, what do you mean yesham al mashi yismachu? It's written explicitly in Chumash. Lo nitzcha el chadasha min asheretz lo ksiva. The idea of tuma, of the size of an adasha from a sheretz, that could be metame a person, that doesn't say anywhere in Chumash. Titania behem yachol bekulan. I think it's bekulan. Tamalomer mehem yachol bemuksasan. Tamalomer bahem. Haketzad. What does it mean? Do you need to touch the entire sheretz or just part of the sheretz? So haketzad ad sheiga bemuksaso shehu kikulo. You have to touch a significant enough size of the sheretz that's like an entire sheretz. Shiru chacham bekadasha. The Chacham said that's the size of an adasha. Shekin chomet chilasu bekadasha, because a certain type of sheretz, when it's first born, is about the size of an adasha. So that's a miktsaso shehi kikulo. Most shratzim are obviously much larger, but if you have a kadasha of a sheret, that's kikulo. Rabbi Yosef reviewed the Omer Kizanov Halta'a, that the shear is not kadasha, the shear is the size of a weasel's tail. That's the miktsaso shu kikulo. Arayos, so again, Arayos has also said yeshal mashi yismachu. Again, michtav ksivan. Arayos, there's plenty in Chumash about Arayos. As lo nitzrucha el libito me anusaso dlo ksiva. It's talking about one's daughter from his anusa, from a victim of his rape, that it doesn't say in the Torah. D'amarava, amarli Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, asya heina heina, asya zima zima. It's a series of drashos from which we learn it out. So that's not explicit in the Torah, it's only yeshal mamashi yismachu. Hein hein gufei Torah. Then we said that this list of items that we just went through of the yeshal mamashi yismachu, they are all gufei Torah. Says Gemara, hani in hanach lo. This list of items is gufei Torah, and everything else, all the rest of Torah, is not gufei Torah. Meaning that which is mefurash is not gufei Torah. And says Gemara, elema hein vehein gufei Torah. It means to say that everything is gufei Torah. Elu velu, all of it is gufei Torah. That even these things that are not explicit is also gufei Torah. Hadron alach hakol chayavin. We now move on to the second parak of Maseches Chagiga. Now the first mishnah in the second parak does not seem to have very much to do with Chagiga at all. It doesn't really talk about being a regel or bringing any karbanos on regel. What does it tell us? Let's see the Mishnah. For ein darshin b'arayos b'shlosha, person should not darshin about arayos in a group of three. Or presumably three. Well, we'll see. In a group of three, v'lo b'maisa bereishis b'shnayim, nor should he dash a maisa bereishis in a group of two. V'lo b'merkava b'yachid, nor a maisa merkava even with one. Elim kein hayachacham mevin midaito, except unless the person is chacham mevin midaito, then you could do merkava with one. Someone who looks at four things is better for him never have to have come into this world. Malamala, malamata, malafnim, maliachor. What is above, what is below, what is before, and what is behind. What is in front, what is behind. So different deos, what this is talking about. Rashi writes at first, malamala means meirikia sha'al roshe achayos, the highest levels of heaven. And lamata is whatever is lamata mehen, whatever is beneath us. Lefnim is chutzul mechitza sarikia lemizrach, lachor is lamarav. And then he quotes all another day and tells us, something very very deep, very esoteric. Person's not supposed to look at these things, shouldn't think about these things. And anyone who doesn't pay respect, who's not careful about the covet of the Ribbono Shel, also is better for him if he was never Baldi Olam in the first place. So those are that's the Mishnah. What in the world does this have to do with Chagiga? So it could be, the Meiri explains, that the Iker Kavana of the Perek is to finish up the issues of Karbonos Chagiga and to explain the Tahara that's needed in order to be Osik B'Taharos. But the first Mishnah that explains things that you can't be Dorish Befirsum is a Hemshech of the last Mishnah. The last Mishnah in the last Perek was, we mentioned Arayos in the last Mishnah of the last Perek. So since we mentioned Arayos as one of the things that were Yeshla Malmashi Yismochu, so we continue to discuss a little bit more about Arayos, namely that you shouldn't be Dorish Barabim. So once we're mentioning not to be Dorish Arayos Barabim, we mention other things not to be Dorish Barabim as well, and that leads to everything we have in our Mishnah. But that's not really the point of this Perek. The point of this Perek is what we're going to see starting with the next Mishnah. This is just sort of a continuation from the previous Perek. That's how the Meiri explains. And the Sefer Zecher L'Chagiga, he says a little differently. He says that since the first Perek, Rabbeinu HaKadosh was teaching about mitzvah of Re'iyas Pnei Hashem Yisbarach on the Shalosh Regalim, and Re'iyah doesn't only mean, it can't possibly mean just Re'iyah Mamish, to physically see, it means some sort of Re'iyah Sichlis of the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we were just talking about the great mitzvah of appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of seeing the spirituality and seeing appreciating the Ruchnius of the Mamish. So now we're told, yeah, but there are limitations. That a person has to be somewhat limited. A person can't. It's not. You can't just darshan about anything to anybody. There are limits on what a person's re'iyah is supposed to be. That's how some of the Achronim explain the connection to the first parak. And we said not b'maisa bereishis b'shnayim. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnah says that a lot of people will not be able to understand maisa bereishis because it's very, very deep, and it's going to ruin their emunah and Hashem. They're going to think that everything they learn about science and how the world came into being is a stira to Torah and to emunah b'Hashem Yisbarach. So that's why you shouldn't study maisa bereishis. The Rabbi Yonos Milanil writes that if you teach it to two people, then it could be that one of them is going to understand and the other one's not going to understand. And this is a common problem that teachers have, is you teach to a group of people and some understand, some don't. But if you always look around the room to see who's nodding, who looks like, and who's got the blank look on their face like they have no idea what in the world you're talking about. So sometimes you look at the wrong student. So you'll say something and you'll look at a student who got it and you'll think, oh, okay, everyone got it, everyone understands. But meanwhile, there's this other student that didn't understand a word of it. And that's very dangerous with Maisa Bereishis. So that's why you don't teach a Bishnayim. Maisa Bereishis shouldn't be taught to a group of two people, says Rabbi Yonah Sami Lanil, because the one who doesn't understand, who you think he understands, and he's not going to say anything, because he'll say, oh, okay, I'll get the other guy's notes afterwards. And then that's gonna be very terrible to misunderstand things of such deep nature like Maisa Bereishis. Says Gemara, Amr Bereisha v'lo b'merkava b'yachid. That's not, someone's not allowed to learn Maisa Merkava alone. Then we said, unless he's a Chacham Mevin Midaito. What do you mean? How could he possibly learn it alone if he was not a Chacham Mevin Midaito? That's the only way to learn it alone. It says Gemara Hachikamer, Ein Darshan Ba'arayos Lishlosha. Veloba Maisa Bereishis Lishnayim. Veloba Merkava Liyachid. Elim Kein Hayachacham Mevin Midaito. It's not that the total group has to be 3, 2, or 1 in the respective cases of the Mishnah. It's that's the group of students. In addition, there's also a teacher. So we say, don't teach Maisa Merkava B'yachid. It doesn't mean one person studying alone. It means a teacher shouldn't teach it to a single student. L'yachid. Ein Dorshin Ba'arayos B'shlosha. And we're not Dorish Ba'arayos to a group of 3. My time, why should that be the case? Gemara has 2 reasons. Number 1. Ile Mishum Duxiv Ish Ish El Kol She'er B'saro Ish Ish Tre. say she'er b'saro chad. So that's where we see three from v'amrachmana lo sikrivu legalas erva. And right afterward it says lo sikrivu legalas erva. Don't reveal issues of erva when you're dealing with this number of people with three elameata. If you're going to darshan like that, the chesiv pasuk says ish ish ki yikalel elukav ish ish asher yitin mizara lemalech. Hachinami, one only violates birchas Hashem or being mavir zara lemalech if he does it in a group of three people. That's a little bit much. Elahanu mi bayulei l'rabus hasanachrim shomasaron al birchas Hashem v'alav adzara ki yisrael. No, that ish ish is needed for a different drasha. The ish ish by molach and by birchas Hashem is needed to teach us that goyim are chayev also in those things. But the ish ish by arayos is used to teach us the number of people not to darshan arayos in front of. Says we're no. Look at the list of Shev Mitzvah, Sanhedrin, Daf, and Vav. Not only is Birchas Hashem and Avodah Zarah on the list, Arayos is also on the list. They're not allowed to do Arayos either. So if Goy is Mitzvah by Arayos, absolutely not. You can't. You need the drasha of Ishish to teach me that as well, to teach me that a Goy is Mitzvah in Arayos as well. That's Machlokas in the Gemara. We just discussed at Shalashudas this past week. It says Shav Mitzvah Sav Bnei Noach, then it gives a list of seven. But then two Tanaim said, and I got one more, and I got one more. There may be eight or nine. Sirus is one of the Machlokas Tanaim. Rabbi Chitka added, even being Mesaris a Behemoth or Mesaris a human, maybe one of the Shav Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Ella, says the Gemara, is second possibility. How do I know that you're not Dorish by Rayas Beshlosha? Midichsiv, Ushmartem is Mishmarti. Ushmartem, Trey. Mishmarti, Chad. Vamrachmano, Vilti Asos Michluk Satuevos. That it says, refers to three people, and then it says, the Vilti Asos Michluk Satuevos, to tell us that you've got to stay away from talking about these things with three people. Elameata Dichsiv, Ushmartem as Hashabis. Ushmartem as Amatzos. Ushmartem as Mishmaris HaKodesh. Or do we really want to go there? Where every time we have a Shmartem and a Mishmeres, it's got to only be with two or three. So you only have to be Shomer Shabbos if you're in a group of two or three people. Alone, that's okay. Then you could text your friends, and as long as you're in the privacy of your own bedroom, that's totally fine. So Hachinami, really, would you say such a thing? Elam Ravashi, Mai Ein Dorshin Barayos Beshlosha, Ein Dorshin Bisisrei Arayos. No, what it means is not that we're not Dorish Barayos Beshlosha, but that we're not Dorish Bisisrei Arayos. What does it mean, Sisrei Arayos? Rashi says things that are not mefurash, like bito me'anusasa that we just discussed on the top of the amud, or ei mechabe ve'im chamoso, that which is not explicit in the pasuk, that we're afraid if someone doesn't understand. Well, we'll see. My time. What's the reason? Svaruhu. When there are two people sitting in front of the Rebbe, one of them will be asking questions and will be discussing with the Rebbe, the other one will be listening in because he has no one else to talk to, so everyone will get the full picture of what the Rebbe is trying to teach. But if there are three people sitting in front of the Rebbe, one of them is going to be involved, actively involved in discussion with the Rebbe. What do the other two guys do when one of them raises his hand to ask a question? They talk to each other. They'll talk in learning, but they'll talk to each other about some other learning. They're not gonna know what's going on. V'loyadi my kamarabai. They're not gonna know what the Rebbe is saying. So we used to have a Rebbe, my 11th grade Rebbe. Whenever guys were talking to you're talking in learning over there. Yes, Rebbe, we're talking in learning. So that was the style. That was that they would always talk in learning. So vasal mishri isurim ba'arayos, and they would come to be matir isurim of arayos, which would be a terrible thing. Frankly, Gemara, Ihachi, Kala Torah Nami. If that's the case, then Kala Torah also should be that way. Why is it only Arayos? It's okay to say the wrong halacha in other areas of Torah. It says, when Arayos shiny, Damar Mar, Gezel v'Arayos nafshom achmadasan u'masavalehem. That Gezel and Arayos, people have a terrible Yetzer Hara for. So there's more of the Yetzer Hara to be Matir Arayos than there is to be Matir other Yisurim in the Torah. Ihachi Gezel Nami. Well, Arayos isn't the only thing people have a terrible Yetzer Hara for. They have a terrible Yetzer Hara for Gezel also, so we shouldn't darshan be Gezel in front of three people. Answers the Gemara, Arayos ben b'fanav ben shalom b'fanav nafash yitzrei. Arayos are such a Yetzer Hara that even if it's not in front of you, the Yetzer Hara is that great. So even while you're learning, the Yetzer Hara for Arayos is still very present. Gezel b'fanav nafash yitzrei, shalom b'fanav lo nafash yitzrei. When it comes to Gezel, it's only a significant Yetzer Hara when it's right in front of you, when the opportunity presents itself. When the opportunity doesn't present itself, the person isn't chalashing to be Gozel. It's only when the opportunity presents itself that a person thinks thinks about being Gozel. It's in the Gemara Masechta Sota seems to say the opposite in terms of arayos, that a person that a person only has the yetzer hara when he actually sees the arayos. So Tosfos Masechta Sota asks the question, what about our Gemara that it says even shalom b'fanav? So Tosfos points out that once you've seen the arayos, then even when it's no longer b'fanav, it remains in one's memory, remains seared in one's mind, and therefore it's still going to be a yetzer hara. Similar to what the Gemara says, kala omer rachav, that is a miyad nikra, the Gemara says Megillah is going to become a balkari. It means if yodo makira, even if you don't see her right now, but if you have seen her in the past, then that's enough to create that tremendous yetzer hara for arayos. Okay, we'll pick up the two dots tomorrow.